the 68th District. We haven't had the opportunity to meet him yet, but I owe him an apology already. We were scheduled to have him on the program yesterday and just were running way behind time, and we wanted to spend more than just a couple of minutes, so we reschedule him, and he's back on the program. My apologies, sir. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Why in the world you want to get involved in this crazy political stuff?
Well, to be honest with you, sir, I've been a servant, a public servant, for all of my life, mostly. I want to be the voice and your voice of reason. And I've served the community and the state in various positions since moving to Lansing in 1991. First as an administrator with the Department of Corrections here. Then I was the executive director of the Michigan Legislative Black Caucus. And I served as chief of staff to the Michigan House of Appropriation of the chairman, George Cushenberry. And I also was chairperson for the Ingham County Democratic Party for 6 years. And I'm currently vice chair for the Ingham County Michigan Democratic Party for the 8th Congressional District. Now, your question is why? Well, you know, politics is unique. It can be very dangerous and very nasty. And we have a lot of good people within the state as well as in the country, who could be very, very good legislators. However, a lot of people have stayed away from elected positions because of the whispering campaign, how dangerous can be, and how vicious individuals can be, although they may not be true. Individuals have called and made it known to me, maybe a year or so ago, that I needed to run, even when I was chief of staff of the House of Appropriations, which I, at that time, had really not given it serious consideration. But within the last year, of all the things that's been going on at the Capitol and seeing what's happening and getting the sanction of the most important person in my life, my wife said she had my back, let's go, and knowing how politics is, and she had no problems with it, coming out of the state of Louisiana, we decided to run, sir.
All right, you know that the Republicans are going to say, oh, no, here's another Democrat who's going to recklessly spend our money and bring his liberal agenda to the table.
I've been hearing that all my life, Tony. But to make money, you have to spend money. And, you know, this group of individuals that we have in there are not concerned about human life or individuals or jobs, as they so claim. Their purpose is their own personal gain. If you note, the majority of those individuals who are now elected as legislators have personal gains appears, such as getting rid of the business tax, which they were fortunate to do, restructuring the tax base, which is gutting programs dealing with human individuals. If we do not have a decent tax base, our infrastructure will deplete as it has in the past, and we're presently going. Their purpose is more or less to cut taxes, just come in for 2 years, get out, take care of their business, because they're gainfully employed as individuals, not work for corporations or companies. They are lawyers, have their own private business, and they could care less about the infrastructure of the city as well as the country.
Should government take care of people?
Government has governor should play a role. Governor should play a role. And when you say take care of people, I don't mean to the degree of individuals who are able to be gainfully employed and not working and laying on the dime of the general taxpayer. But there are people within the country that are in dire need of assistance from the government, and therefore the government should intervene in order to help them.
Has the governor, and by that I mean Rick Snyder, has he done a good job, fair job, or a poor job from your perspective?
A fair job.
What could he have done better?
More involvement, more engaged with individuals who are dealing with everyday people. Not totally business. The gutting of prevailing wages, dealing with the unions, supported and not supporting collective bargaining, the emergency and management law, binding arbitration for police and firemen, dealing with the health care benefits. You know, I come from an era of civil rights as coming out of the South. These are civil rights of individuals that are being annihilated by this present administration. The unions and individuals here have fought and fought for years in order to gain a decent quality of life, and presently it's being dismantled by this administration.
All right. I'm sure he would tell you that he walked into a situation after a two-term Democratic governor where the unemployment was high, the budget was out of control. Not all of it was Jennifer Granholm's doing. She walked into a somewhat of a nasty situation. But Rick Snyder will tell you he balanced the budget. He made it easier for businesses to be in positions to hire people, especially in the future. So from what perspective has he not done his job?
I would say that in the perspective of not engaging individuals who will be more effective in reference to what has happened and the results of what has happened, I don't think the general public has seen the results of what's been going on for the last year. I think that what we will see within the next 8 months to a year, we will reap the benefits of the havoc that's been created by this administration. Granted, each administration will come in and inherit what the previous administration has done or has lacked of doing. And in this particular case, what has occurred, if they are successful, and the jury is still out, if they are a success, it all begins prior to Governor Snyder came in, as you stated earlier, as well as what has been trickling down from the federal government through the under the auspices of President Barack Obama.
We're talking with Griffin Rivers, who is running for state representative in the 68th District. Griffin, final question I have for you. I'm from Mount Clemens, very close to Detroit. I've witnessed what's happened down there firsthand, not only with their schools, but with their city. And since I maintain that since Dennis Archer, it's been a mess down there. It is a proven fact that the elected officials cannot handle the fiscal responsibility of running the city. Yet there are many people who believe that they should be left alone and just have the state to continue to give them the money, and it's business as usual, and that there should be no concessions from the unions, and that there should be no intervention from the state. What's your perspective on that?
Well, when you say intervention from the state, if we're talking about and you're referring to the emergency management law, those individuals who were there were elected by their peers, and therefore they should be taken out of their position by their peers. And I feel the same way in reference to term limit. Term limit individuals, it should not be set at 6 years. If a person voted you in, they should be able to vote you out. Now, granted, throughout the course of the last couple of years or so, there has been mismanagement, and there has been, quote-unquote, corruptions or things of this nature within the city of Detroit. But from all indications, things are turning around. However, for years, there's been X amount of dollars that's supposed to have been paid to the city of Detroit through revenue sharing, and the state has refused or lack of seeing the money that's due to the city of Detroit. There are some elected officials who really, really, really mean well. However, they've not been able to carry out the wishes that of the people because not having the necessary votes in order to do that.
All right, one final question for you. If you are elected, what could you do to help the state, to help business be in a position to hire more people? Because obviously that's what we need, more jobs here in the state.
Well, the premises of my election is I totally believe that the foundation of everything is education, regardless, education. We got to put a sound and a viable education into place, or attempt to be putting it into place, which will in turn bring in jobs. All individuals are asking and saying, jobs, jobs, jobs. We need jobs. We need jobs. Sure, that's a given fact. We do need jobs. But no one is saying what kind of jobs or how we will get the jobs here. Once it appears, are we in the process of putting a viable education into place, then the big corporations and big companies will be looking at the state of Michigan and the city of Lansing to come in here. And then with that, bringing jobs with decent wages. And once you bring the jobs in, then your public safety problems, your quality of life will also go up. I'm a firm believer that there should not be a one-party control of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. We need a check and balance type of situation. If we had a check and balance situation going presently, a lot of the havoc that's been going on would not occur. I'm to bring to the table, hopefully we'll bring the House back, take the House back as Democrats. If not, we need to slow that ball down as much as possible in order to get jobs into the city for people for the city who lives in the city, work for the city, and deal with their, enhance their quality of life.
All right, we've been talking with Griffin Rivers, sir. Thanks so much for your time. We will follow your campaign and get you back on the program as we move into closer towards the election. Thank you.
And thank you for having me, sir.